Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press. So welcome to everybody to the first My Money, My Lifestyle podcast for 2020. And Mapalo, welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Maya. I'm so excited for this year.
I have to tell you, I've been wishing everybody positive energy because I think that's actually what we all need right now. A lot of that.
We do. We're not going to talk about any negative stuff because I've been hearing a lot, but it's going to be a great year. It's going to be an amazing year. It's a new decade. Come on. It's a new decade, Maya.
It's a new decade. And this is going to be the decade you're going to sort your finances out, listeners. I want to share a story, Mapalo. I just wanted, you know, last year, towards the end of last year, you wrote that great piece on how to calculate your net worth. We did a podcast on it. It had really good listens. We had really good feedback. So I went off in the first week of January. It was my goal to recalculate my net worth. And I discovered, that I hadn't done it for 2 years. But the really positive side was when I did it and I went through all my assets and my debts and what I've paid off. My only debt is my home loan, what I've paid off. Do you know that my net worth had increased by 40% over
40%?
40%. Now, 40. And the reason I'm sharing this with you and with the listeners is not because I had a windfall. Well, this is my household. My husband and I are combined.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I would have known. Okay. And what I realized when I went through it was it was two things. One was just sticking the course. It was making those monthly contributions that I do to both my husband and I, to our retirement funding, to our additional investing, saving, and also paying off our bond. So we have a couple of goals that we have, and we just stuck to them. And we just put money there before we spent it. And yes, we had some good market returns we do have offshore investing, which talks to diversification. Yeah. So the offshore, the local ones, not so much. The local investments did not add greatly to the 40%. The offshore did. And paying off our bond, you know, part of well, not that we've paid it off, but part of those contributions to the bond. So it was all about, and that's exactly what you wrote in your piece, was like, look at all of those things. Reducing debt increases your net worth. Investing, putting additional money. And I just really wanted to say, it just made me so happy, obviously, to realize that I had achieved this. Exactly. I achieved it without any pain or out any major windfall. I just stuck to the plan. And I really think if I had to get one message out to listeners this year, it's just stick to the plan.
Oh, Maya, that is such an amazing story. That really is such an amazing story. I think a lot of the times people are afraid to commit to a plan because the beginning seems to be hard, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you were telling me an amazing story about a follower of yours who committed to a plan and has had huge changes.
Yes. So I promise you, I will send you this email. Last year in 2019, in January, I received an email. So normally I do get
So this is January 2019, you got this email.
2019. She sent me an email and said, you know what, I've been watching your stuff, I've been listening to your stuff, I've been reading your stuff. And out of this, I have decided that I am going to take control of my finances and my family's finances. And I set my husband down and we are committing to paying off debt this year. This is the only thing we're going to focus on in 2019. And lo and behold, Maya, in 2020, January, literally just a few days ago, she sent me another email. Not just an email saying that she's paid it off, but she actually showed me and emailed me her statements that she had paid over 110,000 rand off of debt in 1 year.
And I promise you, at the beginning of the year, if you had said to her, set the goal to pay 110,000 rand of debt this year, she would have said, that's hard, too hard to do.
That's hard. Like, how do I even begin to do that?
How do I begin to do that? I promise you, it is chipping away. But Mapalo, we see the same thing with Money Makeover. So Money Makeover, if any of you have been following it, if not, we're starting again in February. That's where we take 6 people through a money boot camp. We run it on City Press, but it'll also be on My Own Money and Mapalo's
Woman
and Finance. But we take 6 people and we put them through a money boot camp. This is going to be my 4th one that I'm starting. But in the last 3 that we've done, taking people through, without fail, within 6 months, they pay off their debt. And they all start telling me it's impossible. Every single
impossible.
One.
I don't have enough money already. Like, there's no way I'm going to get the money.
Absolutely.
For me, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the competition, Maya.
Yeah, no, we're going to prove it again, everybody. So if you want to be following this competition, really do keep an eye out for it and commit yourself to following it, but also to implementing the information that we put out there. Maplo, you wrote such a great article this week on smart goals. And I think we're talking about goals and we're talking about how to set them so that you actually achieve to pay off 110 or improve your net worth. So maybe just take through, because I think it's also goals need to, you can't just say, I'm going to pay off 100,000 rand of debt. Okay, how? So how does a smart goal work?
So Maya, again, I think, if anything, for this podcast, what I want to leave our listeners with is the fact that we cannot set blanket goals. I want to become a multimillionaire. I want to pay off debt. If you are really serious about paying off your debt this year and becoming debt-free, set SMART goals. You know, they must be specific. They must be time-bound, all of those things. But how you should be setting your goals and achievable goals at that. Because really, I think, Maya, this year, we are focusing on achievable goals, things that you will actually. So, for example, you do have 100,000 worth of debt, right? But I think the first thing, you need to know how much debt you have. Do you know how many people just kind of have an idea? Like, yeah, well, it's around 50 or it's around 80,000.
They know kind of what they're paying every month, but they don't know the total, that outstanding debt. Yes. And it terrifies most people when they see that number. Yeah.
Yes. Because people are afraid to confront that number. They're afraid that, you know what, maybe it's too big. So people normally don't really dig in and say, okay, this is actually how much I owe. So the first thing, you need to know how much you owe. Just put it down on a piece of paper and calculate all of your debt and say, this is the total of how much I owe. So the next thing that you need to do is to say, okay, how much can I afford to put every single month towards my debt, right? So now you're trying to find out, how will you pay off this debt? It's no good saying, okay, I have 100,000, but I'm going to pay it off at the end of the year, but you don't know how. How are you going to pay it off, right? Then from there, you say, okay, with what I can afford, with the extra amount that I can afford every single month, I can be able to pay it off maybe 80% of it by the end of the year. And that's okay too. Actually, I think that's even more practical. That's more achievable. And that's more doable if you say, you know what, by the end of the year, I will be able to pay 60% of my debt off or 80% of my debt off, then I'll focus the rest in the following year. But it's better than just saying, okay, I'm going to do it. Then you don't do it and you get overwhelmed and you give up halfway through, right?
And I must just say, Maplo, I must interject there, because what we found on Money Makeover is that the goals are set, but they always exceed the goal. So, you may say, I'm aiming to pay off 80%, but you land up paying off 100%. And you will go back to that follower of yours and ask her if her goal was 110% or if she has surprised herself. Because what I find, and again, through experience doing this so many times, is that people, when you start looking after money, money is almost like an energy. And it likes to go where it's looked after. It is respected and it is planned for. And always something happens. You suddenly get a bonus you weren't expected. Or you find a statement with an investment that you forgot about. Or I promise you, without fail, if you start to respect money, it will come to you. And I really believe that.
Mm. Oh, that is so brilliant. That really is so brilliant. I absolutely love that. Just once you have set the commitment and you're doing it, you're in the process of doing it and you're actively achieving small goals, something good happens along the way, isn't it?
Absolutely. Because, you know, that is. It's the same thing. Your head must reflect what's around you. You know, a tidy house makes a tidy mind and all those things. It's the same thing with your money.
Well, my house is always tidy, but sometimes my mind is not. So I don't know about that one. But yes, Maya, that's it. So for me, the article really was just to say, you know what, set tangible things, you know, don't just say one big thing and hopefully it will magically do it by itself. But really, even if it's for debt, even if it's for increasing your net worth, even if it's for paying down your car or your house, or that the following year you want to send your child to school and you want to pay the full fee in the beginning of the year. But it is something that is tangible, you know, make very, very specific goals and targets for yourself.
And also do it first. Don't spend and hope that you have that. Don't think that your budget that you have left over at the end of the month is what you're investing or saving or you're paying off your debt. It's got to be before you start spending.
That is so important. So whatever your goal, whatever goal you have, that's what you have to focus on first as soon as your money hits your account, right?
We also ran an article about the kind of tools and apps that are out there to help you achieve your goals. So we've got, the article is quite extensive. It's got a lot in there. I'm not going to go through all of them. But I thought you and I should just really share which ones we use. So are there like kind of some tips you can get shared now through? It's like, are there tools or apps or money saving or anything that you kind of use that people can go and access out there?
Yeah. So one of the ones that you did speak about in the article, Maya, is 22/7, right? And that's the one that I have kind of used the most throughout. But I, unfortunately, Maya, I'm a bit old school. Especially when it comes to the budgeting stuff. I still like my Excel. I like writing down my expenses. Like literally, it's insane. I have a notebook of where every month I know, okay, every day I write, okay, I bought chappies, I bought this, you know. So I'm a bit old school in that, but I think definitely anyone and everyone can find something that works for them in this article because you provided quite a lot. For me, 22/7, I liked it because, you know, you could put your investments as well in there and you could put your different bank accounts. So that's why I liked it.
And it does also have that net worth calculation. So you put it all in and it tells you your net worth, which is also really nice. Yeah. I mean, I also use 22/7, but I also use the spreadsheet. So it's often because sometimes the spreadsheet sometimes just for me makes things a little clearer. Whereas I use 22/7 a lot for the warning signs because you can set your alerts.
Yes, I like it when it comes to the red. Like, okay. Okay, lady.
You've spent all your money on eating.
You spent all your money on eating. Time out. So I appreciate that. I still use quite a lot of writing down and using my Excel spreadsheets.
Yeah.
But what I did like, one that I thought I will certainly try, and I was actually trying to download it now just before the podcast. The one that you round off, I think it's the one for FNB.
FNB or Stash or this a couple or.
Yes, where they round it off. Like, so whenever you spend, they round off the money that you've spent.
Yes, that's Bank of Change. Yeah, that's FNB's product. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I absolutely love that. Because normally, even with my own savings or investments, I would look at my bank account and say, okay, let's say I'm left with 150 rand. I'll be like, oh, well, this 50 bucks, I'll probably use it for something that I'm not really going to need. So I'll put it away. So for me, that kind of app is amazing.
So there's actually two that we use. We use both that FNB Bank Your Change, where it rounds up. So it's a little bit like your piggy bank. You know, if you come home in the evening, you take all your loose change, you chuck it in a jar. You'll be amazed how much that can be, at least 2,000-3,000 rand by the end of the year. And the other one that we use as well, now Stash, which is actually a Liberty product, but it's kind of Liberty developed it, but it's a standalone app. It's called Stash, is another great one. It used to link like that with FNB, rounding off, but that became a little bit, I think, cumbersome for them. So it's one of those things where you can just swipe the app and it puts money straight away into your savings. So I have to tell you, my husband uses that quite a lot. So say, for example, we're out somewhere and he decides not to buy a coffee. So you'll quickly swipe 25 Rand into the app because he saved himself by not buying the coffee, or exactly like you did. Wow. Like 150 bucks, I've got another 50 left, let me quickly pop it in, and it's literally a swipe and you're moving that money and it goes into a tax-free savings account with no fees, which I think is absolutely fantastic. So again, you know, when you go to talk about this net worth, this is how we do it. We do it by sometimes the little wins, the little easy stuff. And I have to say, probably my favorite for the year, and this is my 2020 champion of the year, is, funny enough, it's Multiply. So not many people may know Multiply because it's Momentum Health. So we've got that one as opposed to Discovery, which everyone seems to have. Okay. And what I love about what they've done this year is they give you, depending on what level you're on. Now, I tell you, I have to exercise very hard to stay on the level of my two-kissing runner.
It's a win-win situation.
It's a win-win. So because I'm on platinum with them, platinum level, I get discounts. I may get discounts at CNA or Macro or whatever, or you get cashbacks at Pick and Pay. I can, instead of saying I'll take my 20% discount at CNA, for example, I can turn that into a cashback. So say, for example, this is exactly what I did. So I took a 500 Rand CNA voucher I bought from Multiply for my son's school stationery. But I only paid 400 for it. Well, technically, I would have got a 100 Rand discount. But instead of taking the 100 Rand discount, I paid 500 and 100 went into my savings pocket. And that sits in a high interest. I think you get over 5% on it. And it sits there until I need it as an emergency. And I'm thinking, what a clever, you know, I always say, people say, oh, I bought it on sale. I saved money. No, you don't save money by shopping at sales.
You don't.
But here you actually save because instead of using the discount, you pay the full amount, but that goes into saving. And I think what they've done is really clever because it's turning those discounts into real savings that you can really build up an emergency fund with. Yeah. So that, I think it's probably the cleverest part.
Do I have to go do my homework?
Yeah. I think unfortunately with Multiply, you have to have some Momentum product to, but maybe I know a lot of the listeners are probably Vitality because it's the biggest program. But even that mentality of, I spoke about stash. So say, for example, you go and you buy a dress because it's on discount, right? Oh, the dress is only 500 instead of 600 bucks. Well, that 100 Rand, quickly put into stash. Put it across. Save it. And then, so a lot of this you can actually build into your own, just your own habits.
That is brilliant, Maya. That is so brilliant. I absolutely love it.
So now, one of the calculators that I mentioned in this article is not so much about tracking your money, but it's a fantastic calculator if you're looking to buy a house or a car, because I get a lot of these requests. People say, can I afford a home loan? If I pay extra into my home loan, if I put a deposit on a car, all I do is I actually go to Nedbank's website. So I'm just telling you all, go to www.nedbank.co.za. They've got, you don't have to be a client or anything. It's just their website. You click on tools and then calculators. And it's great. And that's actually what I use. So there we are. That's the secret to my success. So you don't need to email me anymore or WhatsApp me or DM me. You just actually have to go onto the Nedbank. And what's so nice with it is you can keep playing with it. So you can say, okay, I'm going to put in this. Or what if I increased, in fact, when I was doing my net worth calculation and thinking how much quicker can I pay off my bond, I went on, guess what, to the Nedbank calculator. And I did my maths there. So that's just like a nice, just a nice tool, I think, that if you're wanting to play around with finances.
Yes, I think that's a very important one, Maya, because people are always asking, you know, the bank has given me 30 years to pay off the home loan. Should I stick to it? Are there any repercussions if I pay it off quicker? What are the, you know, if I pay 500 bucks more, what difference does it make? So I think that's a brilliant calculator to have and to go to. After reading through all of these tools that are available, right? The one thing that stands out for me and maybe a bit of an issue that I do have is the fact that they still need you to be very involved, isn't it? For example, even with the 22/7 app, you know, they categorize stuff and, you know, you need to put it and say, okay, this is eating out, this is, you know, your home stuff. I just find that a lot of apps, unlike my Excel spreadsheet, which I've done myself and I know where to go and how to do it quickly, it doesn't need that much effort from myself.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I mean, I think it's a very valid point, yeah.
They require you to be quite involved. And sometimes, you know, you don't have time to be looking at them every single day, isn't it?
Yeah, I do. And I think you can get a little bit. It does depend how much of a geek you are. Okay. So how much, if you're really wanting, so even on something like 22/7, you can drill down a lot and you can have 100 different categories, or you can kind of have just four main ones where you say everything goes into, you just have groceries, rent, you know, school fees. So it does, I think it depends how much you want to drill down. I was actually listening to, somebody was telling me that they take pictures of their till slips and then analyze on their till slips what they spent. So if they went to Pick and Pay and they would see, oh, I bought bread, but I also bought some luxuries. I couldn't do that. That sounds like way too much work. But, you know, it depends on your personality and how much you, but I think a big part of it is, I think what a lot of people say is they just say they don't have money to save. And actually when they start to do their budgets and they start to see where the money's going, they start to realize that there is a lot of money to save. And again, we see that every time a money makeover. People are, I still remember Mabatu last year, she discovered she was spending 2,000 rand a month at KFC for breakfast.
What?
Yeah, on breakfast.
What?
Because
on breakfast?
On breakfast. So what was happening was that every morning on the way to work, she was rushing out. You know what it's like? Get kids to school, this, that, the other, grab a coffee at KFC on the way to work, but it was never just a coffee.
No.
It was a coffee plus, so she hadn't eaten. It was quick.
That's like me at Dis-Chem.
You're at Dis-Chem. I know the feeling.
Like me and Dis-Chem. Yeah. I can never ever go into Dis-Chem. It's just my one thing.
Exactly. And when she analyzed it and realized, she thought, how can you tell me you don't have money to save or to pay for debts when you're spending 2,000 Rand at KFC for something that she honestly did not know that. She, in her mind, she sort of thought maybe 200-300 Rand.
Yeah.
So I think analysis is important. It's the analysis that's important. Yeah.
But for me, actually, just maybe another tip, something that has worked for me, especially when it comes to Dis-Chem or any shops that I know that I'm a bit weak when it comes to. So normally if I need some stuff, some toiletries, I will say, okay, I'm going to spend only $1,000 and I will try $1,000 and that's what I go in with. So I won't go in with my card because, I mean, when you, as long as you go in with your card, then there's a bit of room to just be like, oh, well, this one is just an extra $100. So you spend that $100 or $200. Sometimes, you know, it ends up being more, but just throwing cash and having cash and, you know, that's all you can spend when you go into that store, I think that has gone a long way for me.
And I think it's such an important point. You know, we're also used to cards, and cards are incredibly convenient. But cash, if used correctly, because also I find if I draw cash, sometimes I don't know where the cash has gone, but apparently it disappears. But if you're drawing strategically, so we did that. I think I wrote about this last week. We didn't do a podcast, so we didn't comment on it. Was how when I was trying to get out of debt, because we've all been there, people, I actually went back to that drawing cash. So I drew cash for petrol. Yeah, and put them in envelopes. If you're in that place and you're saying, I just am not getting on top of this. I just keep spending. And because even if you say going to be disciplined and you say, well, I'm going to put all my savings first, I'm not going to have credit, you may still land up running out of money after 5 days and having nothing to end. So how do you make sure that you stick to, so actually looking at breaking it down into weeks and only drawing cash for that week. Those are some of the things that you can do if you're really struggling. But at the end of the day, this all takes some commitment and some resolve. And once you put it in place and the system's in place, it does work, but it takes a little bit of effort and it takes a little bit of time. But, and also don't judge yourself after 2 or 3 months. Be like me and forget about it for 2 years. Have all the right habits in place. Have all the debit orders going off. Do all the right things and then check up on yourself in 2 years' time. That's my recommendation.
I love that. Maybe do it in a year's time. Just to review in a year's time.
I think it sounded so much better over 2 years. I'm telling you, it was the 2 years that I think was really worth the wait.
Well, if you're trying to get out of debt, do it within a year. So at least you know where you stand, where you're going, what direction you've been taking. Then if it's wealth building, making sure that your investments have gone up or your savings, then yeah, 2 years, I think it's a good time. But debt, I think...
No, debt. And I mean, I agree with you. You should do it once a year. And in fact, one of the big things that I did, because debt's not a problem for me anymore, but are my investments and actually reviewing them. What's been performing? What hasn't been performing? Do I have the right asset class breakup? Yeah. So I did do a little bit of that cleaning up as well. And I think that is very important as part of your annual review.
Absolutely, Maya. Absolutely. And here is to an amazing, amazing year filled with action, right? Filled with action and taking the right steps towards reaching your financial goals.
Exactly. You cannot blame it on the president or on Eskom. Your finances are in your hands.
Yes, it's personal finance for a reason, Maya.
So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.